Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:07 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here is who we are and what we do. Each and every single Saturday, right here on News 104.5 WOKV from 6 until 8 a.m., I am joined by the big guy.
That's me.
Sasquatch the Yeti, 6 foot 6, 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector. You've seen me on Home and Garden Television and also about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, and we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 855-765-1045. Sasquatch, large man.
Yes.
Holy, holy, I think I'm in a meat coma.
What did you have, a 14-ounce?
More.
32 ounce?
Tanya and I, as you likely will recall,
yes,
we are certified judges of the State Cook-Off Association. We are also certified judges of the Kansas City Barbecue Society.
Oh, okay. I see what happened.
So in Fernandina this weekend,
yes,
is the annual Fernandina Rib Cook-Off. I do believe they call it right down there at the beach at the end of Atlantic Street. But anyway, so last night we were judging ribeye steaks. There were 28 contestants in that particular category. And even if you only take a little tiny bite, there's a lot of steak. So I'm kind of in a meat coma. I'm recovering here this morning. I'll be back up to Fernandina for the barbecue judging. And they judge in three categories there.
Uh-huh.
And it changes at different events.
Okay.
But they're doing Kansas City ribs.
Right.
Baby back ribs.
Okay.
And my favorite, and I consider the most challenging of all barbecue things.
What's that?
Brisket.
Brisket is a challenging.
Yeah.
Okay.
It takes such a long time. People were up all night long. You know,
cooking brisket?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's very serious stuff. It's very competitive.
Cooking all night long.
Well, look at it this way.
Yeah.
Different people have different activities in their backyard.
Yeah.
Some people toil in the soil, and
yeah,
some people are smoking, brisketing, doing other food. Some people do both.
Yeah.
For some, it's a couple's event.
All night long.
All night
brisket.
Long. Yeah, like Lionel Richie.
Well, I can understand that part of Lionel Richie.
Yeah. So they have, this is a relatively small local competition,
yeah,
tomorrow, barbecue. First prize, I believe, is $1,000.
Yeah.
And some of the manufacturers of various barbecue grills and smokers,
mm-hmm,
if you win a competition, mm-hmm, using their product, their particular grill or their smoker, you can win up to $10,000.
$10,000? Oh, my God.
That ain't bad for cooking a brisket.
Yeah, that's not too bad for staying up all,
yeah,
night long.
And just to keep my all-meat, all-weekend program going, we have the Jags game on Sunday, and I'm doing sausage.
Sausage.
Yeah. So it's
you may even go on that. There's a new diet called the carny diet, carnivore
keto
diet. No. It's just you eat straight meat all the time.
Is that right?
And your whole, it's, yeah, I've read about it, and it's know, somewhat effective. And maybe you can just shift to that for about.
Well, there's a process called ketosis.
Yes, yes.
Where your body begins to burn fat rather than,
right,
sugars and carbs.
Right. But you can, yeah, eat all the meat you want.
Yeah.
You can eat all the meat you want.
Yeah.
I tried it for around 3 weeks. It's not bad.
Did you get all the way into ketosis?
Oh, yeah.
You're sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I started losing weight.
So anyway, if I seem a little off, I'm in the early stages of meat coma.
Meat coma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's exciting for you now? I'm feeling the weather change.
I read an interesting article about apples. Do you know how many apples there is in the world?
Varieties?
Just take a wild guess.
400.
Not anywhere close. 7,500 types.
Of different apple.
Yeah, 7,500 different types of apples.
All edible?
Johnny Appleseed did a great job, didn't he?
He did. Things like
edible.
A crab apple?
Yeah, every kind of apple. 7,500. The most expensive apple in the world is grown in Tibet. Nepal. Yeah, it's called the Black Diamond Apple, and it's a black apple. It's actually dark.
The skin is near black?
Yeah, because the skin has developed a special UV protectorant, and $50 an apple.
Yeah.
$50. Can you imagine paying $50
for an apple? Aside that it's rare and exotic, it tends to be sweet, it's tart.
It's very sweet, and it's like kind of like a Red Delicious.
Yeah.
You know, very palatable. And, it's a rarity. And, you can't really get them. They're harvested. They're slow growing, but they're mostly sold, you know, in China.
Is it a high altitude thing?
High altitude. But,
which is why it needs this, protectorant.
Yeah. I don't know if it's got the genetic material to grow at high altitude, high UV light. You know, you get a lot of UV light up there in those high altitudes.
Sure.
You get a lot more, and then it's a little bit lower oxygen level. Those things come into play, but it's the black diamond apple.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Because the plant's not impacted by the lower oxygen. I wonder if the CO, the carbon dioxide.
No, plants have oxygen, too.
They really?
Have oxygen, too. Yeah, yeah.
I thought they took in CO2 and kicked out oxygen. That was the big deal.
They take in it at night.
Oxygen at night.
Yeah. So that's just the opposite at night, yeah. So,
really?
Yeah, yeah. They're breathing through the root system. You know what I mean? So they have to have oxygen
through the roots.
Yeah. But you know, go ahead. Yeah, just opposite cycle changes at night.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But the 7,500 apple varieties. But in Florida, in our area, we can grow. They have tropical apples, and apples are, you know, the ones that we can grow here. Are like a Golden Delicious or a red, tastes like Red and Delicious. And you gotta have two of them. Anna and Dorset are the most. Einsheimer's another one, and Tropic Apple's another one. It's coming more and more prominent. But there's four varieties that will grow in here. You gotta have a pollinator, Anna and Dorset. They gotta cross pollinate. But they're a small growing tree, and they'll produce,
more of a novelty. It's nothing we could ever do as a cash crop.
Not as a cash crop, no, because apples have a tendency to have a lot of, problems. You know what I mean?
Amongst people who look to eat clean food.
Yeah.
Commercially grown apples are among the dirtiest, most highest chemical content.
Right. Because, you know, it's a monoculture. They have all that sugar, you know, in those apples, and it's going to attract every kind of insect, fungus, and disease. And, you know, that's always an issue, you know, on those things. So
my wife says organic apples.
Organic apples. But the Anna and Dorset are a beautiful looking apple, and a beautiful tree, because the trees of an apple are going to be covered in flowers in the spring.
Beautiful.
Right. So and very easy to take care of. You know, the one thing they need is good moisture. You know, if you're trying to select a spot where they'll actually grow well is an area where the water comes off the eaves, is your best plant. Just like any place where a stone fruit grows good is where the place you want to locate them.
Yeah.
So that's a nice thing. And then also putting compost on them is a good, get them a good start. You can buy them. They're fairly good. Fairly easy to find. And
local nurseries tend to stock them.
And they're a beautiful tree. You want to prune out the central leader.
Even if they don't fruit.
Right. And
if you don't have the chill hours, will they flower and not fruit, or they won't flower either?
They won't. Well, they sporadically flower. That's a good point about the chill apple, the chill hours. You know, the reason why those we only can have four apples in our area is because of the low chill hours. Our chill hours are very low, and those type of fruit need a certain amount of chill hours. That's hours below 40 degrees. But what happens is that when the plant gets below 40 degrees for like 400 chill hours, then the trigger comes on to set fruit to grow flowers. So it's all controlled by biologically. So you bring a Red Delicious down here, it will not grow down here because of the chill hour
situation. It won't grow or it won't fruit.
It won't grow or fruit. It will kind of sputter along, but then it will dies out because if it can't complete that cycle, it's going to be it will not produce what you need to get a fruit tree doing well. But so Anna and Dorset, Tropic Iron Chamber, and then Tropic Apple are your best varieties here. But they make great plants. I mean, I've seen them grown successfully throughout. I've never grown one myself, but I've seen them grown successfully throughout Duval County up
in
Georgia.
Dude, is that your alarm? Is it time to wake up?
Let me turn that thing
wake
off.
Up.
Let me see. Oh, my God.
Good job. You're awake.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, speaking of mentioning it.
Well, I figured.
I sat on it.
Got all these people all around the world listening to us going, honey, is our alarm going off? No, that's Larry.
I was sat on it. Okay.
International agriculture. You mentioned Tibet. I learned something yesterday morning.
Yeah.
I have a good buddy, Paz Patel, of Indian origin ethnically.
Right.
And so we go for these morning walks. You know what podcasting is?
Yes.
So we go for morning walks, and I don't podcast when I'm with him.
Uh-huh.
And we talk, and we call it Pazcasting.
Pazcasting.
So we were Pazcasting yesterday morning, talking about different things. And he shared with me, we're talking about India and different things that happened in India, the origin, the family name Patel.
Yeah.
You hear
They're
that.
They're everywhere.
You
yeah.
hear it everywhere. Do you know why? This is fascinating.
No.
So prior to the Brits doing the things they did in India, 200 years ago, I guess it started 200 or 300 years ago, colonizing in India, a typical person growing up in an Indian village, one, everybody was farmers, virtually everyone was farmers, and no one had last names. So you would be Larry, son of Michael.
Right, right.
And I would be Wally,
like
son
Larry
of
O'Neill.
Wally.
O'Neill is O'Neill, son of Neil.
We didn't have last names. They didn't have surnames. It just, you know, small villages, everybody's agrarian, they're farmers, so it would be Larry, son of Michael, or whatever your dad's name is. So when the Brits got there, that messed up their system. They're like, well, what's your last name? Dude's like, I don't have one. What's your surname? I don't have one. So in England, and you know this, many surnames, last names, were associated with what trade or profession you were in.
Mm-hmm.
So you were Larry Carpenter
or
Larry Blacksmith or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the what happened culturally and ethnically or whatever at that point was they went, oh, I'm a farmer. The Indian word in that particular
Patel
language
means
is
farmer.
Patel.
Uh-huh.
So I'm Wally Patel. I'm Larry Patel because we were all farmers.
Farmers.
So
okay.
If you're curious,
that's definitive.
If you're curious why someone
there's a lot of farmers in agrarian society.
Ethnic origin is because that is the word for farmer, and it's another bit of British imperialism goofing up the universe.
Well. You know, I did do some research about Indian gardens. You
Pretty
know, one of the things that stuck in my mind about Indian gardens is the Mughals used to have, it used to, in the driest part of India, they used to make these structures with a reservoir, kind of like a pergola, and there's a reservoir above the structure. And they were
pressure water.
Pardon me?
Then they have pressurized water.
No. Well, they had pressurized water, but the purpose of it, they'd have hundreds of people filling these structures, you know, with water.
Sure.
Because it was so dry and it hardly ever rained, the people longed to hear rain. So what the guys, they made a roof that when they opened the stops on the thing, it shot the water out and it made like it was appearing to rain around the pergola.
Wow.
And they had copper on the floors or on the ground. So to emphasize the sound of the rain. That was one of the
very creative. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. You'll
the
learn all
Mughal
kinds
Gardens.
Of things here at the Home and Garden
yeah.
Show. It's 6:20 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break. Jumping right on the phones to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 626 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. Enjoying the day together, taking your calls at 855-765-1045. Got a condo update for you.
Okay, what did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Okay, what did they do?
So flooring was to be installed this past week. And I shared with you before, we chose this high-end, I guess you'd say, reasonably high-end.
Yep.
Laminate vinyl flooring looks a lot like wood. Acacia is the look.
Acacia.
Very pretty wood.
It's a fancy name for vinyl.
No, it's a type of wood. You know that.
Yeah, I mean, but acacia is a fancy name for vinyl.
Acacia is the grain pattern, okay. The coloration. Okay. Acacia. Okay. I was helping you to understand
what it was vinyl that looks like acacia.
I did.
Okay. All right.
Luxury vinyl flooring. Acacia was the pattern.
Yes.
Anyway, the fellas prepped the floor, put down the sound barrier and all that. They open up the first box of wood. They start putting things together. And like, whoa, there's a defect in the vertical end of this thing where they connect together. Let's get a different piece. Let's get a different piece. And they kept coming out. There was a problem. So let's open another box. Turned out every box had exactly the same machined defect in it. You're like, uh-oh, what do we do? So they call back to the flooring place, Mercury Flooring, who's doing it. And they said, okay, let us check. They called around the country. This entire container from China.
China.
Every piece of it in the country is defective.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's a problem. So they're like, what are we going to do now? You know, we're supposed to move in, and then if you can't finish your flooring, you can't do the rest of your stuff. So Crystal, who's our rep at Mercury Flooring, she said, not to worry. I'm going to bring you over. I know exactly what you like because we went through the process of choosing. And she says, I'm going to bring you over some samples. Okay. And I wasn't involved in this. Tanya did all this. She's the project manager.
Okay.
So Crystal comes over, sees Tanya at the condo, and says, how do you like these three? And she says, well, to be honest, I like the one that I had before. And I
so he's just going to wait for them to fix it.
So Crystal said, I thought you would say that. You know how Billy Mays, the OxyContin guy, but wait, there's more. She says, I figured you'd say that. How do you like this one? And China's like, whoa, I like that one more than the first one.
Right.
And China's like, well, why didn't you show me that one before? She said, because this one is significantly more expensive. It was out of the budget you gave me. So
I guess you got that one.
We did, but here's the deal. They said, you've been a great customer to us for a long time. You've been great through this process. This one we can have, and they're installing it today, and they didn't charge us the up price.
Oh, wow.
And this floor is gorgeous.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to send me a
gorgeous
picture.
Gorgeous.
Send me a picture, okay.
It's called Cortec Premium Plus Live Oak. It's gorgeous.
Live Oak flooring, okay.
This floor is so pretty. Tanya brought the piece home, to our existing home on Scott Mill, set it on the floor, and the cat walked over, and it just sat on it.
Yeah.
I said, come here, kitty, 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 and it shook its head at me like, I like this floor.
Yeah.
I'm like, you like this floor more than my lap? And the cat said,
what about the off-gassing? Is there a lot of off-gassing involved?
Interesting you ask. This has a particular certification. It's a green something. Or I'll have to look up the exact certification.
De-gassed.
They measure the off-gassing. Uh-huh. And if it's zero or below whatever these thresholds are, it essentially has, for our purpose, zero off-gassing as it relates to formaldehyde and other things.
Oh, yeah.
So this little problem by being courteous and patient has turned into a significant upgrade. So great
live
job.
Live oak.
Mercury carpet. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's 6:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, then more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 37. Grateful that you are with us here at News 104.5 WOKV on the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill's here. I'm Wally Conway. The only thing that would make the show better is you. Check in with us. Love to hear from you, your thoughts, your questions, your commentary at 855-765-1045. And a special shout out to our friends all around the world who are watching the live video stream on Facebook, on YouTube, on LinkedIn. Grateful that you're with us. Also, our friends at WOKV.com and the WOKV app. It's really interesting.
Yes.
How since the technology has allowed us to do so that we... Here we are all around the world. We've had
spanning the globe.
Folks checking in from Australia.
Like
we've had France.
Had
Peru. There's only one real benchmark we have not yet met, and that is the call from the International Space Station. So if you happen to be at NASA, you have a friend at NASA, or what is the Russian space group? Soyuz?
I don't know.
International Space Station, our producer has the word here. If we get a call from the International Space Station, they're interrupt us to get head of the line privileges.
Yes, absolutely.
And that'd be kind of fun and kind of cool. Counters are going into the condo on Monday. Pretty excited about that. You know, it's amazing how many choices there are for countertops these days.
Yeah.
You know, it had granite for the last...
Concrete was popular for a while.
Concrete's still moderately popular, though I think it will be trendy.
Yeah.
I don't think it will truly endure the test of time.
More of a modern look.
It's a modern/industrial look. You can color it and stain it in different ways right into the grid of it. But we looked at a lot of granites. I was leaning toward granite.
Yeah, those natural stones are beautiful.
Yeah, Tanya was leaning toward a quartz product.
Yes.
And the I'd say it was a compromise, though she chose it. It's a quartz product that truly mimics a granite look. So it's really weird. I've been such a purist for such a long time about it. Here I lived in a house for the last 12 years. It's all cedar on the outside, never been painted. It got natural pine walls on the inside that are clear finished. Now all of a sudden I have a vinyl floor and quartz countertop. I'm just not sure what all this means. Could be a transition in life.
Yes, you could be. Yeah, right. Pretty soon you'll be breaking out your polyester suits you had in high school.
Like Minshew.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
Yes.
I may do that. Did Minshew Mania strike you yet?
No.
I wonder if he works in the garden.
No.
I lean toward not.
Okay.
He doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
No, it doesn't.
Although he's a bit of a Renaissance guy. His dad's a general contractor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it could be he is a gardener.
It could be, yeah.
It is his name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just thought about that. How about that?
Okay.
We only came up with that name. Do you know that Gardner Minshew, his grandfather wanted him to be named Beowulf.
Beowulf?
Beowulf, the English office.
Yes.
Beowulf.
Yes.
Beowulf Minshew.
That's an unusual name. One you wouldn't...
So I went with a more common name, like Gardner.
Yeah. Listen, I just got the latest results, and I just... Remember we were talking about battery-operated... equipment, lawn equipment, and stuff like that. And Ryobi, we've had our experience, and it's kind of been a negative thing with battery operated equipment. But now the battery technology is improving, and my neighbor used to have electric lawnmower with electric cord. He mowed the lawn with electric cord trailing behind him. That was an interesting thing. You know what I mean? Watching him out there flinging the cord out of the way. It is quiet.
My mom bought one of those. I mean, back in the day, we're looking at 40 years ago,
she said it would be
lighter.
Yeah.
I think she used it once and it was gone.
Oh, yeah. The hassle dragging that cord behind you is just, unbelievable. But now because the battery technology, they've got batteries that on some of these are making around 700 to 400 hours of use before they, depends also on the size lawn
Between a charge, 700 hours?
Yeah.
No way.
Well, they got it on here.
Oh, it's on the internet. It's clearly true.
Well, anyway, we'll just go right to the rating. We won't debate that other. But they got an 82-volt Grassworks.
Wow.
82-volt. That's a pretty good size.
It's not the volts, it's the amps.
The amps that matters. But the two best that came out on the
these are lawnmowers we're talking now.
Yeah, and they were tested in Vero, Florida.
Oh.
They're a solid place.
Nothing weird happens in Florida.
No, nothing weird. But the Ego 56V was the number one choice. So if you're out there shopping for a lawnmower and you want to go,
is it self-propelled?
Some of them are, some of them aren't. Okay.
This particular one?
I didn't check, that one.
Okay.
Didn't check that one out. And then if you have a large lawn, you want to go with the Greenworks 82.
What's the price point on something like that?
They're around $500.
Really? That's not bad.
Right. $470 for the Ego and around $500 for the GreenWorks. Our favorite was before was a Ryobi, but a Ryobi has got a low battery life.
So they've low, been eclipsed.
Low. Yeah, low.
They've been eclipsed.
It's like kind of they've gone the way of, remember the Blueberry or Blackberry? Blackberry.
Yeah.
Blackberry phones. You know, they're not even in the phone business anymore. And they were the number one phone around for, this was it first came, they were the number first smartphone, in fact, weren't they? The first smartphone, the Blackberry?
I guess sort of close. You could argue, yeah. Was it the flip phone or the, but yeah. Blackberry just dominated the market.
Oh, yeah. Then they just disappeared. You know what I mean?
Apple
just
killed them.
Yeah, but exactly. Apple and the, and, but those are two best buys according to this rating.
I am thinking about, and I have yet to get spousal approval on this.
But to buy a lawnmower?
No. we're moving in. I haven't had a lawnmower in 15 years.
Use it as a boat, you know, put it on the boat.
I already have a boat anchor.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about a Roomba vacuum.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw those. Those are cool.
Because we have no carpet in the house. No wall. I mean, we'll have throw rug looking things.
Do you know that they discovered in those Roombas that there's a, it sends a message to the manufacturer, your house size and photos and pictures of your house?
I don't care.
You know what I mean?
I don't care.
I thought it was a little strange why they'd be doing something like that, but.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about the Roomba, and I'd love to get some input or some feedback. I've been doing a little bit online, but that's not as valuable as real feedback.
Right.
But for under $300, you can get the baseline model, and then the Mac Daddy's about $1,000.
And it vacuums is how it turns on automatically.
You can set it any way you want. You can control it from your smartphone. Mm-hmm. You can set it on automatic. You can just go over and touch it when you want it to happen. I'm just thinking, wow, the condo's only 1,000 square feet. It's virtually all hard surface flooring.
Right.
And that baby could be in there. The place could stay spotless.
What if you drop your shoes or, you know, and you don't pick them up? What does the vacuum respond to that?
Huh?
You know, your shoes or you forget to put them away?
It probably sends you a text.
Get your shoes out.
Hey, dude, take some picture. You know, here's what it probably does. So if I left my shoes and my underwear on the floor.
Like normal.
Which I don't do. Just imagine that I did. I imagine this thing has enough technology. It could take a picture and text it to my wife.
Uh-huh.
And she'd break me of that habit really quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I know
it's even posted on social media.
It maps your place when it's.
Yeah, it does.
Does it?
It learns where things are. Mm-hmm. But what's cool about it, it's only 3 inches tall at the most, 4 inches. Yeah. So it gets under things where you don't normally
underneath
go.
Underneath your bed and everything, huh?
Yeah. So it's nice. And with hard surface flooring, it's got to be just fabulous to just.
It seems unbelievable, but, you know, they could do a thorough job. But go ahead and let us know how it works out. Are you going to get are you going to spend the $1,000 model?
No.
It's like getting ice in hell.
let's check in with Lee, just checked in with us, who has some feedback on the round. But Lee, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Good morning.
How have you enjoyed the Roomba?
It's one of the best things ever. I had a little dog. I had like four roommates, and I mean, I just couldn't believe how much stuff that picked up. We had all hardwood floors downstairs, and then we had carpet upstairs, and we basically just left it downstairs, and it means there was no dog hair anywhere. We ran it every day and changed that bucket, and I was just always amazed at how much stuff it picked up. And then even on the carpets, it actually worked really well. You know, we vacuum and they still look clean and it would go over it and run for an hour or so. And the stuff that it picked up, I was just amazed at.
You said you had a little dog.
What model did you have, a $300 one or what model?
So right now I have, so my roommate had a Shark first. It wasn't even the Roomba.
Uh-huh.
And it worked pretty well as well. And right now I have just a $300 model.
Yeah, I think it's called the 650. So you had a little dog. Right. I got to ask, if your little dog dropped a little pearl, how did the Roomba address that?
So that happened one time. That was not pretty. you could see the nice little pattern that it went in. And it
Roomba.
Got a Roomba skid mark, did it?
Yeah, it sure did. It was not pretty.
Who had to clean the Roomba machine?
What's that?
Who cleaned the machine after it made the skid mark from the dog pearl?
Oh, that was the roommate that owned the dog that did that.
All right. That's cool.
I also had a question real quick about a fig tree, if you've got
sure,
it.
Sure, bring it on.
It's probably about 15 feet tall, and it's really bushy. I wanted just to know the best time to trim that back.
The best time to trim it back would be late winter, early spring. That's the best time.
Okay.
And
all right, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. And then toss some fertilizer on it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. That's a pretty positive endorsement. I've gotten quite a few endorsements here.
Well, the rumba must be the new thing that you're going to get then, I guess, right?
Yeah.
All the money you saved on that vinyl flooring, you know, you could afford to get a rumba. Get the $1,000 model. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
How long have you known me? How long have we been doing this?
Okay, you're not going to
do
that.
Do I look like the guy who's
you're
buying
gonna be looking
$1,000 vacuum?
Craigslist. Looking for a used
a
rumba.
$1,000 vacuum.
Yeah, used rumba. No dog turds. It wanted, you know, never scooped up a dog turd. Okay, no problem.
I can imagine that is a very unpleasant task, cleaning all those brushes. And,
Oh, yeah. That's kind of nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We don't have a dog.
Yeah.
What
if the dog would ride the Roomba? You know?
There are so many pictures online of cats riding Roomba.
I don't know
if you say it Roomba or Roomba. It's spelled like Roomba, so I don't know. But, yeah, cats ride
they just
on
get on top and ride around all
yeah,
day.
Yeah, it's said to be illegal, though. It happens often.
Okay.
There's no license.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about fig trees and, you know, avocados. You're famous for, well,
I love avocado.
We're getting the finger on this one. We're running out of time.
Well, sometimes, you know, you go on these 12-minute diatribes, and we've got about 30 seconds. I was just letting you know.
Okay, we'll talk more about the rumba then. I mean,
we'll just take a break.
Okay.
It's 6:50 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right back on the phones to your calls. We truly love hearing from you. 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 656 here at News 104.5. You're listening to the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Gardens here. I'm Wally Conway. Enjoying today, taking your calls at 855-765-1045. If you need a large landscaper anytime during the week for a project, be it large or small, larrysgarden.com. Got the blog, video, frequently asked questions. 2,000 active bloggers talking about all kinds of things, landscape, hardscape, pergolas, driveways, all those things out there. Should you decide you don't want to go it alone, you can reach right out to Larry, and yep, he will get all that going for you, whether he's doing the design or the entire project. That is up to you. The phone number is 346-1970. If you're outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, maybe up in Brunswick or down in Daytona, you would need the number 904-346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, easy to find all the time online. GoHomePro.com. Over 25 years experience, over 25,000 inspections, and over $25,000 in after inspection warranty and protection included. Free and eligibility for the 18-month warranty. That website is this website, GoHomePro.com. The telephone number, 268-8211. We've got folks ready to receive that call right now. You're outside of Jacksonville. That could be Brunswick, Daytona, Gainesville, and all those little wonderful points in between. St. Augustine, Palm Coast, whatnot, Lake City. 904-268-8211. Love serving you. And if your real estate agent is handling all that good stuff for you, tell them you want Home Pro on your side.
Home Pro on your side.
Yeah.
Friends don't let friends buy. How's about a home inspection? Right?
That's true. Okay. And friends don't refer and recommend 12-month warranties when you can get 18.
Exactly.
It's preposterous. What? It's preposterous. You know, we have this comparative chart. It's on the website, GoHomePro.com. We also have it in print. That compares the 6 or 8 most common warranty companies in the country to the warranty companies we work with, Residential Warranty Service. We've never had a customer look at the comparison chart and make a different choice. It's weird.
12, 18 months, you have to be a mathematician.
12 months, 18 months, choose your own contractor, no pre-existing conditions, covering garage door springs,
sounds
underground
simple.
Sewer lines. What, you know, they never make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you a fun thing that does happen.
What's that?
So sometimes customer chooses Home Pro inspections. We're grateful for that. And for some unknown reason, maybe this their agent, maybe the listing agent. They choose a different warranty company.
Yeah.
And then they have a warranty claim, and they call and they complain to me. They say, hey, the warranty isn't covering. I said, well, what warranty is it? And they say what the warranty was. And I said, well, which warranty company did I recommend to you? Mm-hmm. And they say, well, Residential Warranty Services for the 18-month warranty. I said, okay. So I recommended the best thing we could find for you in the whole country. Yep. And you made a different choice. Yep. And now you're upset with me. Yep. And sometimes they say, well, it's because the seller paid. I said, well, why didn't you have him pay for the one that would cover you more? And so I didn't know I could do that. I said, you're the home buyer. You can do anything you want. You ask.
Yeah.
You know? It's really weird.
It's crazy.
It's a strange world.
Yes, it is.
It's 6. Ooh, it's 7 o'clock. Holy smoly.
7 o'clock. Time's flying. We're having fun.
We are. I truly am. I'm grateful to be here. 7 o'clock here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, then right back to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. We've got Fox News traffic and weather, and you don't want to miss that. Right back.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend. Discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
It's 7:07 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. I want to welcome you. If you are just joining us, you're listening to the Home and Garden Show. The Home and Garden Show is heard every single Saturday from 6 a.m., 8 a.m. in the East, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Home and Garden Show features Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden, who brings us 20-plus years toiling in the soil, sharing thoughts and ideas and taking your calls. Me, Wally Conway, from Home Pro Inspection, bringing you 20-plus years crawling about in attics and crawl spaces, and we're just here to have fun together, share what we've seen during the week, what we've read during the week about homes, about gardens, and the fun part, the really fun part, is taking your calls at 855-765-1045. Also want to give a shout out with gratitude to those of you who watch us all over the world on the live video stream, on Facebook, on YouTube, LinkedIn, and all the other great places. Heading over to Mandarin, checking in with Bill. If we can help him with his live oak tree. Welcome, Bill.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for answering my call. I'm wondering, is there a worse time or a better time or not a good time to trim an oak tree? It's a good size oak tree, and I may have to take a major limb.
Well, the winter is always the best time because, you know, there's two different things, pathogens, and then the plant is dormant. The best time to this is a great question because, you know, the interior portion of the tree should be trimmed in the winter. The reason I say that is that if you look at oak trees that are trimmed in the interior portions are trimmed during the summer, they get these things called water spouts where you remove that one branch and all of a sudden you get 25 small twig-sized branches coming out from the nodal area of where the base of the branch was. So, you know, that you can avoid that by doing that in the winter, and then you can also put some growth regulator on that area if you want the limb to look nice and clean. But otherwise, you know, ideal time is in the winter, but, you know, they can be trimmed if it's a healthy oak tree any time of the year. Oak trees are pretty tough.
Because I was hoping maybe with winter coming, maybe I'd get a better rate.
Well, you'll get a better rate in winter because most people are not thinking about trimming trees in the winter, even though it is the ideal time. Most people wait till, you know, the hurricane season to get going, or they're having some issues. But winter is normally the ideal time because it's dormant, and you know, it's just you could spray Roundup on things. I'm not Roundup, but 2,4-D on grass in the winter, and it won't even affect it because it's not absorbing anything. So, it's there you are on that.
Okay, great. Hey, did he get one quick question about the Roundup?
Yeah.
Like a homeowner using it twice a year, should I have any concerns about that with this lawsuits and cancer?
Well, let me tell you, I've been following this Roundup thing off and on for a long time. That huge settlement that got in California has been greatly reduced. I think 8 or 9 world organizations, you know, different countries have published scientific information on Roundup. They say it doesn't cause cancer. Okay. Now, it did cause cancer in, I forget how many pounds of the stuff you have to eat in order to get it to cause cancer. I read the article probably around 3 months ago, but it was a lot, you know, but it was a huge amount. But the thing is if you use any chemical out there, whether it be Roundup, 2,4-D, anything, you know, Dismiss, if you stick your hand in it, you get overexposed to it, you're not following the directions, you're going to have problems, you know, with the chemical. You know, they should ban sugar. Because if you eat too much sugar...
That is a good idea.
You know, they should ban sugar because sugar can cause diabetes, you know, and that's that could be deadly. It could cause heart disease and everything. But the thing is if you use it in moderation, and which I don't use a lot of Roundup, but I do use some. But, you know, and you make sure you have rubber gloves on. You don't stand downwind. You do the things that are precautionary. And then you're not going to have any issue, dude. But if you mix it up with bare hands, you know, stick your hand or hand down there, mix it up, pour it all over your hand, you know, smoke, if you're ever smoking cigarettes, when you got it on your hands, you're inhaling it, drinking coffee. You should not, when you're spraying chemicals, you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't drink anything or eat anything until you completely wash off. Okay, that's a way to really get the level of concentration high in your bloodstream. So, and then standing downwind, make sure you wear a long sleeve shirt. If you're spraying, a hat, you know, maybe some gloves, because glasses, because you want to keep it off the mucous membranes because they're more porous, you know, so to speak. But just use common precaution, you know. But if you look at the research, it's hard to come to the conclusion, the scientific conclusion. I'm just saying what I've read, you know, it's harmful if it's not used in the right way. And then every other chemical, is if you use it in a negative way, it's going to have a bad effect.
Okay. Right. Yeah, sounds like good information and good tips.
Right.
Thanks. I really appreciate you, and thank you. And Wally, you too. Have a good day.
Thanks, Bill. Have a beautiful one yourself. All righty. Let's go over to Greg and see. He's got some thoughts on the rumba.
Is that a dance?
No, it's the vacuum I'm considering.
Okay.
Welcome, Greg.
Hey, how are you?
Very well. How can we help, sir?
I was just letting you know I've had the rumba and lower grade.
The 650.
Yes, sir.
Kind of the starter model.
Starter model. I'm always a starter model kind of guy.
And what success have you had? Do you enjoy it? Do you recommend it to me?
I recommend it for the most part. I hate to put you on hold, but I'm going through the base check-in, so
hold on. We're in here. We're saluting.
We're on the hold on the rumba. On the rumba, say, advice. Okay.
Good gracious.
All right. Sorry about that. They don't take kindly to your Bluetooth on the base.
I understand. So the rumba.
But anyway, yes, I have I've had it for 4 years or almost 5 years since I built the house, and I have a lower grade floor, the
650
pergola type floor.
Yeah.
And it has put swirls in corners where it makes its turns and stuff
It scratched the surface, or it can't quite get all the dirt out of the corner?
No, it scratched the surface.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, sir. But as far as the company's concerned, I mean, anytime you had a battery or anything like that, they've always been very forthcoming and customer service. So that's really great. And we have 3 dogs, 2 cats, so it really cleans up. It picks up a lot of hair.
Excellent. What else is going on for you today?
I have a big live oak tree in my backyard over the pool area, and the guy wants $300 to trim it up because it's never been trimmed up very well, other than the very low lying branches. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, very.
Sounds cheap to me. It's sounds almost
cheap.
Scary.
Sounds very cheap.
Okay. Cool.
It sounds, you know, because... You know,
please check the insurance. Ask to see the insurance certificate.
Well, technically, you're not supposed to... You know, you're supposed to... They're supposed to send directly to you. You know,
that's what I said.
Verify.
Oh, if you wanted to do additional insured, that's a whole different thing.
Right, but you know, in order to prove that they got insurance, they're supposed to, the insurance company is supposed to send it directly to you, not have a certificate.
That's
the technical thing. But I mean, it's
what I've done is simplify it and let them show me. Let them show you the insurance certificate. Then I call to verify it's valid.
Yeah.
It's even quicker.
He's already done $2,000 worth of removing blackjack oaks, so
I'm
pretty comfortable with the guy.
Yeah. $300 sounds very reasonable to me. Yeah, I mean that's extremely reasonable.
All right. Great.
Thanks for the call.
Good luck with it. You know, after Matthew,
right.
It was tough to get tree guys.
Yeah, it was.
It's always tough to get tree guys.
Yeah.
I had 7 different people provide me an insurance certificate, 7 different tree companies. I verified each one of them, and none of them were valid.
No kidding.
Wow.
Every single one was bogus.
Yeah, I had a guy. I did.
Ronald Reagan said, trust and verify.
I had a guy that I hired one time as a subcontractor to do trees, and I verified. He showed me a insurance certificate, and it wasn't valid either.
I've had people apply for jobs at Home Pro Inspections, claim they were home inspectors, and they had no license or an expired license. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
All right.
You know, you're coming in here or having this conversation, and I verify the credentials they gave me, and they're bogus.
Right.
It's crazy.
Unfortunately, my granddaughter bought a house. It was a flip house.
Yep.
Paid too much money for it, and she's eating it now. She's got a lot of bad piping. She can't even have a washer and dryer or a washer because the pipes are all ate up. Well,
next time, have her call home for next time. Yeah. We'll do everything we can to protect her and also put all the warranty positions on it. Well, you have a beautiful day, Greg, and thanks for the input on the Rumba.
Thank you.
Bye, sir.
Bye-bye.
Interesting. Oh, there he goes. I was having a little button issue there. It was kind of a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, this whole house flip thing is one of the greatest things going on in the country, and it's also one of the greatest risks when done poorly. And poorly can mean that the person who's attempting to do the flip is not so good at what they're doing. They can end up in deep trouble. And buying one that has not been done well can get you in great difficulty also. So you really need to assure. All flippers are not created equal. They're all like landscapers. They're like home inspectors and everything else. The vast majority aren't doing what they do so well. There's some extraordinary companies out there doing, you know, real estate investing, flipping, whatever terminology you happen to like. You know, you got Yellowbird out there, JWB out there, some great, great, strong, they're financially strong companies doing great work, standing behind problems and whatnot. And then there's the folks who just went to the weekend seminar that said, hey, look at this. You know, I went to my 3-day seminar and now I'm out. I'm a house flipper. They get themselves in trouble financially and whatnot. Then they get the person they dumped the house on in trouble. They got to be cautious. Got to be cautious. 720 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Taking a brief break. Jumping right on the phones to your calls. Love hearing from you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 725 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. If you'd like to check in, here is that number, 855-765-1045. We pretty much got the fives covered.
Right. And talking about five.
Please do.
Guess what the new world record is.
For what?
For the largest berry. Well, one of the largest berries.
5 pounds.
Almost 5.5. And the largest berry would be?
Dingleberry.
No. You got some serious problems. How do you walk? But it's the avocado.
Really?
Yeah, avocado.
I did not think of avocado as a berry.
Yeah.
What makes a berry a berry? How do we define a berry?
The central pit, you know what I mean, like that, and the peel. And the, but
I love avocados.
You know, the avocados have gone up to 70% of the people are using avocado as a main staple, and 51% of the households in America are considering avocados. It's up there, almost getting up there like cereal and bread. Right. Avocado.
Well, I think that's good. You know, 50 years ago as a kid,
I hated guacamole.
Really, it looked like snot.
It's really gaining popularity.
Yeah, I love it now.
52 billion pounds of avocado are consumed annually.
How much of that's domestic?
2 billion.
Is it predominantly?
It's a huge amount in America.
Yeah.
See, I didn't check on the domestic stuff, but you know, the avocado is very, very good for you. It has the right fat, the right protein, and a lot of great things on avocado. But if you like to have an avocado, they're fairly easy to grow. You know, one of the things about avocados, and you know, you want the cold tolerant variety, and they're classified as the West Indies, the Guatemalan, and the Mexican type. Mm-hmm. And the Mexican type are the types that are going to be the most cold tolerant. You're going to have an A and B type flower. So you have A and B type avocado. And what delineates the two types is that what time the flowers are actually performing their fertile process of their life. And you need to have one where when the male part is active, and then one when the female flower is active, so you can have that pollination.
Yeah, that's in many species. If both parts aren't active at the same time, right, there's no reproduction.
Right, even though they're active, but they're missing the time frame. Isn't this, you know, like...
like people.
Like, yeah. It's like they're gonna, I won't go any further on that. But, you know, avocados is like citrus in many ways. It's the only produces about 1% of its flowers, you know, less than 1% of its flowers, are going to produce fruit. And to get the avocado to ripen, it will not ripen on a tree. You have to pull it off and set it aside.
They won't ripen in nature?
They fall, they ripen. Well, they ripen on the ground.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. When they fall
from
the tree,
so they end up pick them before they fall.
What's great for?
Do they do anything artificially to speed up the ripening?
You can control somewhat control the time where you can get. You got 30-day window, and they're not going to ripen and rot on the tree. You know?
Do they do anything to accelerate the ripening or prevent the ripening once they harvest?
Well, any type of ripening process is controlled by gas. You know, a lot of times they'll run gas over them. Naturally occurring gases to speed up the ripening. But having the A and B, if you want to plant an avocado, you want to make sure it's good. You've got good drainage, full sun. Then also you want to look at the researching and discovering which avocados you want. You want to have the ones that are disease resistant. And usually if you look up that variety, there'll be something on that variety, telling you what kind of disease resistant. The things they have a tendency, they do have a tendency to get root rot if they're in soggy area. No wet feet, exactly. They want a little bit of compost on them when you're beginning the planting and fertilizing with compost. And then if you could trim, I would say get around 7 to 10 years, you know, for the ease of picking. You know, you want to make sure that the lower branches stay somewhat dominant and they don't thin out, that you were going to cut out the central leader, and that will make it be a more compact and easier to reach the fruit. You know, the downside of the Mexican avocado, of course, is not its size, but I mean, they're the ones you see in the grocery store. They're going to have the really coarse looking peel, black purple looking peel. There, in fact, you can plant those seeds.
They won't fruit, though.
They'll grow. And then the other ones will grow, but they just will be cold damage because of the more cold sensitive.
I'll be on the outlook.
All right.
7:30 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. Going to Fox News, traffic, weather, then more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you. Love to hear from you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 7:36 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. We are having just a wonderful time.
Yeah.
I'm going to move in 2 weeks into the condo. It will be the first time in 35 years that I have consumed in my home municipal sources of water, specifically JE. Mm-hmm. I have been on a well since 1984, best I can calculate. And interestingly, prior to my retirement from the Navy in 94, I was drinking distilled water on aircraft carriers.
Yes.
Or
a little bit of jet fuel.
Desalinized water.
A little bit of jet fuel.
Well, jet fuel, I think, is good for you. It's good for the Constitution. Right, it prevents exactly. worms, prevents scurvy.
It smells like jet fuel.
So, you know, I'm not a freaky dude about water and food and whatnot, but I like to control the controllables.
Right.
How am I going to control my water now that I'm not bringing it from the earth?
Right.
Well, affordable water had been my go-to person to take care of my aerator and my well equipment and all that good jazz. So I knew that the water I was getting was the water that I wanted. It was the best it could possibly be. And making the transition to now JEA water, and I'm not slamming JEA.
Right.
I just don't particularly care for the idea of having fluorine and chlorine and God knows what other things are put into the water. I don't want any of that. Mm-hmm. I want the water without all of that. And thankfully, at Affordable Water, all I need to do is describe, this is how I want my water. And what do? At first, they say, let's see how your water is. Like Ronald Reagan said, test and verify.
Right.
Right?
So we test in, test out.
Benchmark the water. We haven't done this yet because I haven't moved in yet. And I don't even have my kitchen done yet. But this is what's going to happen.
Right.
They are going to make my water so that it is exactly the way I want it, absent the chlorine and the other things that lovingly are put into the water. I'm going to get all that out of there, get the filtration out of there. We're actually just excited about the idea of being in control.
I was reading about water this week too. You know that most of these large bottled water companies just take the water, municipal water.
That's
and
true.
Then, and they filter it and treat it and put in your, and then they charge you $3.
Yeah.
You know, and you can get this done at your house for pennies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And better water.
And better water.
And it's not sitting in a plastic bottle.
It's not sitting in a plastic bottle. You just get yourself a glass bottle or a metal bottle and you can carry it around there. Why spend $4 or $3 on a bottled water from the local store?
It's a first world problem.
Yes.
You know the number one export from the island?
Billions. Fiji.
Fiji.
Yeah.
That's their number one export is water.
Right.
In a place where they have a shortage of
water
delivered at houses. It's a really strange dichotomy.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know.
And America's spending so much money on water. You can get it done right at your house for pennies on the dollar from affordable water.
And we owe a big congratulations.
That's a good name, affordable water.
Yeah. Congratulations to Mark Kinder, his family, his staff.
Yeah.
30 years. Big celebration last week. 30th anniversary party out there at Affordable Water. And that's good. That's important. And one final thing to remember is you cannot get soft water without an ion exchange. That ion exchange occurs using salt. When they say a gentleman is not worth his salt, a water treatment that's alleged to be soft that does not use salt is not worth its salt.
Right.
AffordableWaterJacks.com. I get pretty passionate.
Good advice. Right.
Yeah. I like it. Speaking of water,
right.
When you're done with water or you're done with your food, it ends up in the turlet, right?
Right. Would you say turlet?
The turlet. The turlet.
Okay.
My grandfather used to say turlet.
Turlet.
So you got to go to the turlet?
Yeah. The swirl pond.
Anyway.
All right.
That pipe that goes from your home out to your septic or out to municipal sewer, JEA, or whoever you happen to have, that pipe lives a really rough life.
Yes.
It's buried underground. It's filled with water and poo and all the other things that you put down there on the inside, on the outside. Tree roots are trying to get it.
You know what I mean? Everything else.
Imagine, there's not much worse that you could be.
Poor pipe. How would you like to live your life as a pipe?
How would you like to live your life as a sewer pipe?
Oh,
you
know, my God.
We were talking about Rhomba vacuum cleaners. Do I want to be that? Nah, you got to suck up dirt. How'd you like to be a sewer pipe?
Oh, okay.
That's a hard life being a sewer
pipe.
Yes,
yes.
And sewer pipes are subject to many types of failure. And depending on the age of your sewer pipe, it will vary what material it was made of, and they have different failure modes. So the question becomes, how do you know what the condition of your sewer pipe is, and how do you protect yourself?
Right.
So how you know is through the wonders of modern technology, the device called the sewer scope. It's a similar technology as if you get a colonoscopy.
Right.
Right? It's a much longer.
Yeah.
We actually at Home Pro Inspections are 100 feet long. Put that baby down into the sewer vent and can have a live video stream as well as still photography for that 100 feet of the pipe and see what's in there.
Right.
The most common problems, there's probably three. The most common problem is roots. My buddies, the landscapers, insist on putting the trees over top of the sewer line, and it's just, it takes the smallest imperfection in the line. Right. Even a PVC pipe, if that glue joint isn't all the way
all
right.
All the way through, yeah, they'll find a way.
The micro hair-sized root will go, hey, man, there's
once
nutrients
in there. Once it makes in there, it starts growing wider and wider.
Yeah.
It's amazing the power of the root as it...
They can lift driveways.
It can lift driveways, yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
So and it doesn't take that long for that root to become really intense. And it, because it's a nutrient-rich environment.
It is nutrient-rich.
Poo. Okay. It's, yeah. You know, it's
you know, I had a problem with a thing years ago about the drainage pipe. The toilet wasn't working properly. And, you know, I called three different plumbing companies, and then the third one had a scope. And they were the ones that would fix it. One of my sons had dropped a toy down there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you have that problem, and you can't seem to get it resolved, have it scoped.
The scope can tell you exactly what it is and where it is, rather than
what is the problem. You know,
exactly.
I mean, you can apply the right tool.
Diagnostics.
Three plumbers I hired. The third guy used a scope.
Yeah.
There's no problem. I'll be using a scope. I said, okay, great.
We've been using a sewer scope now for about a year at Home Pro, pretty close to a year. And it's amazing the things you discover.
Right, right.
You know, you're like, whoa.
You don't want a guy just blindly putting something down there because he can do damage with some of those things, the equipment they use. You know,
it's best to look before they go.
Right.
But what happens sometimes.
Throw a hand grenade down there. That will work.
Well, to your point about a clog.
Yeah.
Depending what's clogging it and depending the present condition of the pipe, that declogging, you can do great damage.
Yeah, yes.
If you scope it, you can see what you've got going on and be a little bit more, as well as damage, and make a right decision.
Make the right decision, what's going on.
Yeah. Don't make a bigger mess.
Right.
Because the scope is so great at detecting problem, it's put us in a position every time we do a home inspection, if the person also says, yes, scope it too. Normally, we had this 6 months where the sewer guard program would pay up to $2,500 to repair a damaged sewer line. Because it's not covered by your homeowner's insurance. Wow. So $2,500 gets you a pretty good start. If we've scoped it, it's for a full year.
Uh-huh.
And then if we did an annual, then you're
how much does a normal house sewer line cost to replace and repair?
Well, normal takes in a lot of things.
Wow.
So it depends on the pipe and the size and all that other stuff. The sewer guard coverage pays up to $2,500. Mm-hmm. In most cases, that will cover the full repair.
Mm-hmm.
What happens a lot of times, I like giving people choices. The companies we work with like giving people choices. So let's imagine they said, okay, you've got a problem. You call, they activate the sewer guard program, say, okay, it pays up to $2,500. Let's make believe the repair was $2,100.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a conversation with the plumber. He said, you know, the pipe's 50 years old. Yeah, we can repair it for $2,100. For $5,000, we can replace the whole thing. Well, they could take the $2,100 that would have gone to the repair and apply it to the that other part.
Usually, if you got schedule 40 sewer pipe, it's going to last a long time.
The failure in the PVC is at the joints. If the joint is not perfect, We've sewer scoped brand new houses where the pipe was disconnected under the ground.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you about a couple of years. It was several years ago where we were planting palm trees, and that we were digging them. Digging the holes and planting them. And the client calls back and says, "Hey, my ground is really soggy. It's right over my septic area. Did you run your tractor over?" I says, "No, we weren't even in that area." You know, trying to be, you know, conscientious, you know, figure, well, maybe they did and they didn't tell me, you know. So
yeah,
we dug it up. It was a brand new construction, dug it up, and we kept digging and digging and digging and digging and digging. And finally we hit the septic system. And the plumber couldn't get the right angle on that coupling. He just jacked it in there. Pressured in it and shoved it together and didn't even use glue.
No glue.
And the thing was just oozing out after we dug and dug and dug. You know, it was just a fitting, some guy said, well, it didn't quite line up.
That would have been interesting to see what we would have seen using the scope.
Years later, I mean, it was leaking profusely, but it's...
Using the sewer scope, we can't see glue or no glue.
Right.
But what we can see is deflections and twists and whatnot. Right. So if when they put it together, it wasn't glued and it sagged, we would be able to see that.
The pipe did not quite line up.
You could see that from inside using the scope.
In there, and he probably dry fitted it at one time just... to see if it would line up, but it couldn't get it apart again to glue it. So.
Yeah, that's really common,
right?
Is to dry fit, and then somebody just, forgot to go. That happens in supply pipe, too.
Yeah.
Put it together to make sure it's all going to go. You go back and glue the joints, you get distracted, and you miss one.
I was digging up, putting a paver system in the other day, or months ago, and we dug up and loosened the soil a little bit and put the pavers back in, and then loosening the soil caused one of the pipes to come that never had glue on it to come loose.
Yep.
Yeah, it came loose, and then the whole system, poof.
Yeah, that can happen too.
We broke the pipe, and then finally we dug down there. Says, look right here, sir. There's no glue on this pipe. The bell fitting, and it was just loose.
We can get the scope depending on the distance. The scope's only 100 feet long.
Right.
The distance to the septic, we can get to the entrance of the septic also. It can't penetrate all the way out into the drain field because it's flexible. Mm-hmm. So what happens is once it gets into the septic tank, it flexes down into it.
Right.
It can't expand that 6 or 8 feet of open tank.
Right.
But you can see that part when you have the septic company open it up to pump it.
Right.
Pretty good. In some scenarios, we can see missing or damaged baffles, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, don't even count on it, but occasionally we can see that. It all depends on what else is going on.
If you have a problem with your drainage line, that's the only way to go. First you want to call a plumber, make sure they got one, and make sure they bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that, you know, after three attempts...
If it's a piece of the home inspection, ask the home inspector, do you have a sewer scope?
Right.
Most don't. Guess who does?
All right.
7:50 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right back to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 7:55 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Having a beautiful day. Been grateful that you have been with us. If you are looking for something fun to do today, get in your car. Come on up to Fernandina to the Fernandina Barbecue Festival right there at the end of Atlantic where it meets the ocean.
In California, we used to barbecue a lot. You know, hamburgers and stuff like that. My dad loved to barbecue. What kind of steak we used to use, I think. But anyway, we used like red.
Hamburgers is grilling. Barbecue is a separate art form.
Okay. Grill it. But the barbecue sauce we used to use is more tomato sugar based. On the West Coast than it is.
Tomato base, other places vinegar base, other places mustard base.
I do love the North Carolina.
I like the mustard base.
I went to St. Augustine. I went to a barbecue place and had the vinegar and base. And it was very, very, very good.
Mixed
with rosemary, a little bit of vinegar.
Also like a dry rub, like a Memphis dry rub.
Never try that. Memphis dry rub.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kansas City Barbecue Society certified barbecue judge right here. You're looking at him.
Okay.
And a State Cook-Off Association certified steak judge.
Okay.
Yeah, Tony and I.
There's your diet.
Tony and I judged steak last night, and today we're judging barbecue. Tomorrow for the Jaguar game, we're making sausage. I will be in a meat coma by Monday.
Okay. Explain the difference between grilling and barbecue.
Grilling and barbecuing.
Because you got a barbecue. I mean, we go outside barbecuing. It says you're barbecuing.
When you take a hamburger and you carry it out of your home and you set it on that hot thing, is called a
barbecue.
Grill. It's a grill, dude.
Well, the barbecue is the instrument, the thing you're putting it in.
But you're not smoking it.
It says a Weber's barbecue. When you buy that barbecue.
You sure?
Yeah, it says Weber's barbecue.
You should buy
that Weber's barbecue. But it has a grill.
The implication in barbecue is
slow.
and smoke, low and slow, low temperature, long period of time. So like the guys cooking brisket up in Fernandina, some of these guys, they started on it last night at 6 or 7 o'clock.
Grill, isn't it?
No, it's in the smoker.
It's in the smoker. Okay, so it's sitting on a tray in the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to look this up. In fact, there'll be a lot of other...
There's a grill in a barbecue if you want to use it, or a tray in a barbecue if you want to use it.
You think that?
Yeah, that's right.
Are you coming up?
For Fernandina? Nah, no, I wish I could.
It's going to be great fun. Good food, that band out there, and games for kids and all that
cool.
stuff.
You know, it's a very...
I had a jacket on last night where we were judging barbecues right behind the dunes there.
Yeah.
And
the beach is kind of cool. Yeah,
yeah, it was in... Low 70s?
Yeah, low 70s, yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
No, it was breezy, too.
Breezy, yeah.
It was interesting because the steak was cool and very quick.
Yeah.
Competitive steak.
A competitive steak. What kind of steak did you eat?
Ribeye. Yeah, that's...
Is that the staple of barbecue?
Yeah, no. It's steak judging. They're two separate organizations. It's a vastly different thing.
That's the one
they grilled their steak. Ribeye.
Ribeye is the one they use.
Ribeye.
Okay, ribeye.
Yeah.
Okay. And use any other cuts. That's
right. No, ribeye. Now, they have other categories.
Ribeye because it's marbled and a lot of fat on it.
It's really for consistency, I guess you'd say. People like their ribeye. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty cool. The neatest category they have at the State Cook-Off Association is called Anything on a Stick.
Anything on a stick.
You can grill anything you want.
Can you barbecue on a stick. Hot dogs?
Yes.
Okay.
Low and slow.
Low and slow.
I'm also a hot dog aficionado.
I love hot dogs. You can't say anything evil about any hot dog.
It's 7:59 here at News 104.5. Grateful that you've been with us. For those of you coming up to Fernandina, be sure to say hi, get your barbecue chops on. And if you're going from Jacksonville to Fernandina, remember this one thing. Use your turn signal.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.